For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, and not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Lord, take your word. By your Spirit, speak to our hearts, as only you can. In Jesus, amen. Title of my message is, You Can Rest Now. We all get busy with our lives, and different things happen. This message is depicting our struggle with the spiritual fact of aspects of our life, that we can rest. C.S. Lewis said, A man whose hands are full can't receive the gift. More distinctly, a man whose hands are full of parcels cannot receive a gift. John Stott said, Faith's only function is to receive what grace offers. One more time. Faith's only function is to receive what grace offers. We don't like to think about this, but you know what? Our merit merits nothing. God's work merits everything. So, in light of this title, may I ask a question? Are you tired? Fatigue is not a foreign word. We all know too well its fruit. Burning eyes, slumped shoulders, gloomy spirit, and robotic thoughts. Got to get through the thoughts. Take care of this, take care of that, take care of all things. We're tired. We're a tired people. We're a tired generation. We're a tired society. We race. We run. Work weeks drag like Arctic winters. Monday mornings show up on Sunday night. We slug our way through the long lives and long hours with faces made long by the long list of things we do. Gadgets we want to buy or people we try to please. Grass to cut, weeds to pull, teeth to clean, diapers to change, carpets, kids, canaries, everything. Everything needs our attention. The government wants more taxes. The kids want more toys. The boss wants more hours. The school needs more volunteers. The spouse needs more attention. The parents need more visits. And the church, oh, the church. Have I mentioned the church? Serve more, pray more, attend more, host more, read more. And what can you say? Every time we catch our breath, someone else needs something else. A taskmaster demands another brick for the newest pyramid. Stir that mud, you Hebrew. Yes, there he is, your ancient counterpart, the loin-clothed, bare-backed, stoop-shouldered, brick-stacking Hebrew slave of Egypt. Talk about tired. Slave drivers popped whips and shouted commands. Why? So Pharaoh, with his Nile River-sized ego, could brag about another pyramid, even though his fingers never developed a callus or lifted a piece of straw. But then God intervenes. Exodus 6:6 says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Boy, did he ever do that. He opened the Red Sea like a curtain and closed it like a shark's jaws. He turned Pharaoh's army into fish bait and the Hebrews into charter members of the land of no more. No more bricks, no more mud, no more mortar, and no more straw. No more meaningless, mind-numbing forced labor. It was as if all of heaven shouted, "You can rest now." And so they did. A million set of lungs sighed. Ah, they rested for about a half an inch. That's the amount of space between Exodus 15 and Exodus 16 in my body. The amount of time between those two chapters in about 1 month. Somewhere in that half inch, 1 month gap, the Israelites decided they wanted to go back into slavery. They remembered the delicacies of the Egyptians. Couldn't have been more than bone stew. But nostalgia doesn't care about the details. So they told Moses they wanted to go back to the land of labor and sweat and blistered backs. The response of Moses? What did he say? Did somebody put a hex on you? Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among them. Oops, I made a mistake. Those were not the words of Moses. Those were the words of Paul. Words for Christians, not Hebrews. New Testament, not Old Testament. First century AD, not 13th century BC. Understandable, however, since the Christians of Paul's day were behaving like the Hebrews of Moses. Both had been redeemed, yet both turned their backs on their freedom. The second redemption upstaged the first. God sent not Moses, but Jesus. He smote not Pharaoh, but Satan. Not with 10 plagues, but a single cross. The Red Sea didn't open in this case, but the grave did. And Jesus led anyone who wanted to follow him to the land of no more. No more law keeping. No more striving after God's approval. You can rest then, he told you. And they did. For about 14 pages, which is in my Bible, the distance between the sermon of Peter in Acts 2 and the meeting of the church in Acts 15. In the first, grace was preached. In the second, grace was questioned. It wasn't that the people didn't believe in the grace at all. They did. They believed in grace. They believed in grace a lot. They just didn't believe in grace alone. They wanted to add to the work of Christ. Grace a lot, believe in grace a lot. Their thinking is, well, Jesus almost finished the work of salvation, they might argue. In the rowboat named Heaven Bound, Jesus paddles most of the time. But ever so often, he needs our help, right? He needs our help. So we give it. We accumulate good works the way Boy Scouts accumulate merit badges. On a stash. No morning is complete without a satisfying look at the sash of accomplishment. Look at the things that I have done. If you've ever owned a merit badge with that sash, you understand the affection. I worked for these things. It was hard work. Now look at them. You display them so they can be seen. Each oval emblem rewards your work. Some paddled across lakes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, different badges, one after one after one. And there was no problem in that, but that's not salvation, right? But it could be a parallel to some of our thinking. Some people make the assumption that good grades are this merit systems that we use, that God grades us out. Some people believe good people go to heaven. Some scouts resolve to amass a multitude of badges. Some people resolve to amass a multitude of spiritual badges, maybe we call them. An impressive Bible to carry around for Bible reading. Folded hands for prayer. We work hard when we think we need to please God with sometimes the wrong motive. We want to display our badges. But here's a thorny, here a thorny question surfaces. If God saves good people, how good is good? God expects integrity of speech, but how much? What is the permitted percentage of exaggeration? Suppose the required score to get into heaven is 80 and I've only got a 79. What do I do? Besides that, how do you know your score? Do more and you'll be saved, some might say. Do right and you will be all right. You familiar with these? You might be. Most people embrace the assumption that God saves good people. So be good. Be moral, be honest, be decent. Pray the rosary, keep the keys to the Sabbath, keep your promises, pray five times a day facing east, stay sober, pay taxes, earn those merit badges. Yet for all the talk about being good, still no one can answer the fundamental question. What level of good is good enough? Strange. Think about it. At stake is our eternal destination, yet we're more confident about lasagna recipes than the entrance requirements for heaven. God's got a better idea. We read it this morning, we'll read it again. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We could stop right there and talk for a little while, but we'll go on. It is the gift of God, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We contribute nothing. Zero. Zilch. As opposed to the merit badge, salvation of the soul is an unearned situation. It's a gift. Again, our merits merit nothing. God's work merits everything. And this was Paul's message to the grace of us. I picture Paul's face red, fists clenched and blood vessels bulging, a river on his neck. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. In other words, say no to the pyramids and the bricks. Say no to the rules and the lists. Say no to slavery and performance. Say no to Egypt. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Do you know what this means? Apparently they didn't. Do you? If you don't, I know the cause of your fatigue. We need to trust God's grace. Follow the example of this example that's given from life from a story about a group of Chilean miners. Listen to their story. Trapped beneath 2,000 feet of solid rock, the 33 men were desperate. The collapse of a main tunnel had sealed their exit and thrust them into survival mode. They ate 2 spoons of tuna, a sip of milk, and a morsel of peaches every other day. That's all they had. For 2 months, they prayed for someone to save them. On the surface above, the Chilean rescue team worked around the clock, consulting NASA, meeting with experts. They designed a 13-foot-tall capsule and drilled. First, a communication hole was to be drilled, and then an excavation tunnel. There was no guarantee of success. No one had ever been trapped underground this long and lived to tell about it. Now, praise the Lord, someone has. On October 13, 2010, the men began to emerge, slapping high fives and leading victory chants. A great-grandfather, a 44-year-old who was planning a wedding, and also a 19-year-old. Different people, different ages. All had different stories, but all had made the same decision. They trusted someone. They trusted someone else to save them. No one returned the rescue offer with a declaration of independence by saying something like, "I can get out of here on my own. Just give me a new drill." That wasn't going to work. They had stared at the stone tomb long enough to reach the unanimous opinion, "Hey, we need help. We need someone to penetrate this world and pull us out." And when the rescue capsule came, they climbed in. Why is it so hard for us to do the same? We find it easier to trust the miracle of resurrection than the miracle of grace. We so fear failure that we create the image of perfection, lest heaven be even more disappointed in us than we are. The result, the weariest people on earth. Attempts at self-salvation guarantee nothing but exhaust. We scamper and scurry, trying to please God, collecting merit badges and brownie points, and upset at anyone who questions our accomplishments. Call us the church of weary faces and slumped shoulders, maybe. But we need to stop it. Once and for all, enough of this frenzy. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine." The NASB says, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who are occupied were not benefit." Jesus does not say, "Come unto me, all ye that are perfect and sinless." You know that verse, Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's no fine print. Another shoe is not going to drop. God's promises have no hidden language. So let grace happen. because of heaven. No more performing for God. No more clamoring after God. Of all things you must earn in life, God's unending affection is not one of them. You already have it. He sent his son to die for our affection and for our sins. So, figuratively and even literally, maybe we could do this, stretch yourself out on the hammock of grace. You can rest now. Again, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, Jesus said, ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what I believe. Lord, thank you for the rest that we have in Christ. It's such a joy to know that we don't have to work for it, but we work because of it, because we love you. We serve and we do the wonderful things of encouraging and telling other people about Jesus. There's nothing more important. Help us to tell more and more about you. And Lord, as we come to the communion table for God's people, may we remember and search our hearts, and may the Holy Spirit check ourselves. And may we confess anything that would hinder us to do the work of God for the sake of the cross and by your grace. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.